Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thursday afternoon. Well, the news keeps getting worse for U.S. consumers. U.S. shoppers are now apparently seeing order cancellation as the world shuts down some American-bound shipments. Yeah, you know those companies like Temu where you can get the stuff for like nearly free, so you might order every day? Yeah, that kind of stuff. It's all about the de minimis exception. We've got a great expert to help us understand that. Want to share some other news of the day with you as some context here as well. We are now looking at tariffs across the board at the highest levels we've ever seen. Well, not ever seen, but in modern American economic history. Right now, U.S. aluminum prices are 50% higher than in Europe and Japan, which puts U.S. manufacturers like the ones in the state of Wisconsin at an enormous competitive disadvantage. There are examples of these throughout our economy right now. And today, Vice President J.D. Vance went to La Crosse, Wisconsin, in a steel manufacturing plant and lied to people there. Interesting, that's not what I would call town hall style, right? More of a rally, if you will. But Congress people and senators across the country are having a bit of a problem at some of these town halls. One such congressman really ran into it of his own making. We're going to call this one the old Freudian slip, where you say the quiet part out loud. Take a listen to this. This is Representative Mark Alford, a Republican from Pennsylvania, just a couple days ago. Ouch. Take a listen.
Today. Here's the problem. I kind of have to disprove a negative in that come January. Ma'am, did you want to yell something back there? Stand up.
Hi.
Okay, if you didn't want to hear my lies, why did you come here? All right?
Oops.
If you don't want to hear anything I say, why did you come here? All right?
Oopsies. Yeah, we can wrap that clip. because people are really upset about the state of the economy, very nervous, especially going into the holiday season and back to school. We've got an expert to help us understand it all. Thank you so much for letting me get through that introduction. His name is Alex Yaquez. He's the chief of policy and advocacy at the Groundwork Collaborative. He's also a former member of the White House National Economic Council. Welcome, Alex, and thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me, Maggie.
So Groundwork Collaborative has got a report that you recently published specifically talking about back to school prices. We're going to put a link to that report in our show notes today so folks can go look at your great work themselves. Again, you can find our show notes wherever you get our podcasts, civicmedia.us, Spotify, Apple Pods. But tell us what some of the top line conclusions your report reached, Alex.
Sure. So we put out recently a report with our partners at the Century Foundation that took a look at actually one of our own staff members' child's back to school shopping list. We matched it up with scanner data from Nielsen, which allowed us to compare what specific branded items cost now versus weeks ago versus last year. And then, you know, we totaled up all of the other impacts that Trump's economic policies, including the GOP budget law, which Vice President Vance was in Wisconsin attempting to rebrand earlier today, his tariff policy and all the rest, put them together to take a look at how a family that is trying to put kids through school, send kids off to college, and just, you know, do the basics, get the textbooks, the notepads, the pencils, get the lunches packed and folks off to school, how much more they're going to have to pay from last year.
Yeah, the numbers here, Alex, are deeply concerning. And last week, I had on Benga Ajilore, another economist. We were talking about the Walmart earnings call, which you have to decode. Benga and I spent some time decoding these earnings calls. And one of the things that we wanted to show people is that even Walmart, the world's largest retailer, with the most leverage of any company that sells retail products to U.S. consumers, is saying they are now passing along the cost of Trump's tariffs to customers, and they are seeing customers adjust their buying behavior. When we look at the holiday time and back to school, a lot of this stuff, especially for back to school, this is not really negotiable. Where are folks making up the difference? Can they make up their difference in household budgets?
That's right. And I think that what we're seeing so far is that parents are expected to spend less on back to school. It's like Donald Trump said, he said, you know, parents can maybe buy only one pencil instead of five. They don't need five pencils. They can just get one. They can just have one doll instead of 10. And that's where we're seeing this consumer spending pull back, and we're seeing that economy wide. But if you look at items like binders, like composition notebooks, like pocket folders, scissors, these items are up to 40% year over year. And the main reason is because these are low cost, mass produced products that almost exclusively come from China. Even if Trump's tariffs were meant to bring back strategic manufacturing in the US, we are simply not setting up pencil factories in the United States. And so there is no real alternative but to raise prices on many of these items. And that's what we're seeing, where the cost of the inflation on back to school items, again, a lot of these imported items from China in particular, are up three times what the headline rate of inflation is. And we expect they're only going to get more expensive, and the holidays are going to be even worse.
Yeah, it's not looking good. We're going to get to the de minimis exemption in just a second, but explain to people there are sort of two categories of goods that we're going to experience a lot of pain in. One, to use coffee, it's the easiest example. We're not manufacturing coffee in the United States because our climate doesn't permit it. We always have to import it, so your coffee is getting more expensive. There are other goods like that. There's another category of products like pencils and index cards and very, very more inexpensive, mass-produced, systematized. You can only make money when you sell these things at massive scale. Why is it that that kind of manufacturing is never coming back here?
What I would say is that we want more high-value manufacturing, more high-skilled manufacturing. The wages that these sectors pay just are not competitive with other jobs in the economy. Contrast this with manufacturing of, say, electric vehicle batteries or semiconductors or some of these high-value, high-innovation, economically valuable industries that in the Biden administration, we had tried to ensure that we were producing here in the United States, and we're quite successful at doing so. We use tariffs as part of that strategy to make sure that we could protect from competitors in other countries who were using, you know, unfair methods to undercut our producers. This is not what Donald Trump is doing. His tariffs are broad-based. They're indiscriminate. There is no strategy behind them other than make them as wide and as high as possible. And he's hitting not just the pencils and the index cards and the binders, of which we are not bringing back here to the United States, but also many of the inputs that go into that higher value manufacturing. So not only is he not incentivizing companies to bring production back here at scale, he's also making it more expensive for many of our manufacturers who actually do produce in the U.S. and export elsewhere, but source many of their components overseas.
Yeah, this is one of those, like, the eight-headed beasts, right? There are so many different elements of the economy where we see these cascading impacts. The net result of this is very likely to be some kind of economic slowdown, particularly in certain sectors that are highly reliant on these relationships. What I've heard from farmers especially is that the consumers of some of our agricultural and other complex manufacturing products, if the abroad consumer stops buying our soybeans and establishes a relationship with, say, Brazil, they're never reestablishing, or it is highly unlikely because of the extraordinary transaction costs to reestablish purchaser and consumer supply chains with different countries' producers. Those aren't coming back. This will end up killing businesses, will it not, Alex?
It absolutely will. And I think that's what you're seeing so far. You said it's likely we'll see an economic slowdown. It's already here. Right. We had revisions to GDP, which came out yesterday on their headline, this morning, on their headline looked okay. 3.3% GDP growth in this quarter compared to a negative 0.5 retraction last quarter. But if you peek under the hood, a lot of this is driven by the ups and downs of imports, right? And so under the hood, if you look at core GDP, this is essentially slowing down from quarter one to quarter two, and it's well below where it was last year. So the slowdown is here, and it's hitting the manufacturing sector, which has lost jobs for each of the last 3 months. It's hitting the investment in manufacturing construction. And as you mentioned, it's hitting farmers. We see fertilizer prices are higher than they have been any time since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Manufacturing equipment, the tractors and the farm equipment that farmers use is getting more expensive, and they are not exporting as much, and so or finding domestic buyers. So their sales are down, crop prices are depressed. Again, without a coherent strategy for what this trade policy is supposed to accomplish, we're just getting broad-based pain across the board.
Broad-based pain. And the thing that is really concerning to me as an economist, a non-PhD economist, I always want to be careful there, is this. When we look at innovation, right, as one of the primary drivers of product differentiation and economic growth in this country, when we see economic slowdown like this, when we see markets and industries and those that control capital investments getting a little nervous and constricting, it means less money is going to be spent in research and development, i.e. innovation, i.e. the very thing that helps grow our economy and has helped our economy, frankly, move out of some of the crisis following COVID, as well as the investments from the Biden administration in that very innovation in the form of the CHIPS and Sciences Act. I want to talk about Lisa Cook, the Fed governor that Donald Trump is trying to fire. We may even talk a little bit about Donald Trump, I don't know, seizing intel. I thought that's not what democracies and capitalist governments or economies did. We'll get to all of that next with my special guest, Alec Yaquez, the chief of policy and advocacy at the Groundwork Collaborative. Let's just touch very briefly, when we talk about this constriction, this slowdown that's happening, the possible risks of that dual devil stagflation of unemployment increasing and high inflation. We see Jerome Powell saying, you know, maybe we will lower interest rates because we're seeing a little bit of a weakening in the labor markets. When you see Donald Trump attack Fed Governor Cook, Alex, what does that portend when we are seeing broad-based pain?
Trump's attack on the Federal Reserve and on Lisa Cook, I think, are two things. One, illegal, and two, self-defeating. President Trump has said over and over he wants lower interest rates. I'm sure he will try to, again, as the court case plays out, try to replace Governor Cook with somebody handpicked from his administration who will essentially be a yes man or woman, and they will cut rates going forward. But I do not think this is going to have the impact that he wants it to on things like mortgage rates, because as investors, as Wall Street gets more wary about these kinds of decisions, that is going to push interest rates up as people become less confident in the United States monetary system.
Stay tuned. We're going to talk about that Lutnick when we come back in Trump's attacks on the feds with Alex Yaquez. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.